former Buffalo Saber Michael Pekka, well, longtime NHLer Michael Pekka, but we only consider you a Saber, Pex. And now, new assistant coach for the Rochester Americans, joining the show. Good morning, Pex. How's everything going today?
Good, Pete. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing just fine. You know, the usual arguing on air as we normally do, but how are you?
You know what's funny about that? That short little snippet. There's so many people that are going to sit there and they're going to watch that clip and they're going to be like, man, that was Mike Pekka, captain of the Buffalo Sabres. Everybody loves him, his leadership. And I sit there and I watch him skate down the ice and it's just so irritating. Because I remember Mike Pekka as a Toronto Red Wing, the guy that we played against when we were kids. And I'm going to tell you, Mike Pekka was not fun to play against. So it's interesting to, you know, to grow up playing against Mike and what he turned in his NHL career. And now you look at him, he's going to get into coaching, which we all knew. The day that Mike Pekka retired, that he has coaching in his blood. He's got a lot to offer. So congratulations, Mike.
Thanks, Greg.
So what took so long from retirement to becoming a coach?
Well, nothing. I was coaching for 12 years before this. But in all honesty, when I hadn't quite decided at the end of the 08-09 season in Columbus to quite retire just yet. I was still, you know, my body was in good shape. I was just kind of tired of the travel and the schedule and all that stuff. So I think I was kind of leaning towards retirement. And then at the end of the year, my meeting with Hitchcock and Scott Housen, who was our GM, they actually offered me then to join Hitch's coaching staff and as an assistant coach. And I would have started the 09-10 season. But I just, you know what, in my case, you know, when you have a career, as you guys all know, your family, you know, sacrifices a lot for the benefit of your career. And in my case, I wanted to just spend time at home. And my son was getting into hockey and my daughter was, you know, just 5 years old. And I think, you know, what was more important to me at the time was to spend time with the family and kind of give back a little bit. And, you know, last year was the first time I really started to explore the option of getting back at a higher level in coaching, with one to college, the second one leaving this year. And, you know, it just kind of all fell into place at the right time.
Michael Pekka joining us here on the Instigators, newly hired assistant coach of the Rochester Americans, former captain, obviously of the Buffalo Sabres. And, you know, I know I joked, I said, what took so long? But I mean, you did just get into that higher level coaching last year. You were hired by the Washington Capitals. So what has happened since then to now to lead you back to Western New York to coach for the Amerks and back in the Sabres organization?
Well, I think having been in Washington last year and basically being an extension of Peter Laviolette's staff, you know, I was doing everything a coach would do on a coaching staff, with the exception of, you know, I didn't have a special team to run and I wasn't on the bench, but, you know, I ran all optional practices. I ran the taxi squad. I was cutting game video. I was, you know, putting pre-scout videos and meetings together for the centermen on face-offs. You know, I was holding individual player meetings on their shifts and sometimes line meetings. So I was doing a lot of stuff and gaining a lot of knowledge and confidence along the way. You know, but at the end of the year, you know, Peter Laviolette said, you know, I'd love to have you back. He goes, but I think it's more important for you now to go and get more responsibility somewhere. And that's exactly what I'm going to get. You know, I think, you know, I had really good conversations with Seth last year about the spot. And this year we just picked up where we left off, and there's a lot of synergy there. You know, I haven't had the opportunity to meet Mike Weber yet in a coaching environment. But just my conversations with Seth, I mean, we're lockstep key in as far as ideology and philosophy and things like that. So I think it's going to be a really good relationship.
Rex, I got a lot of calls last summer from people saying, hey, you know, we're looking at Michael Pekka. You know, what do you think he'd be like as a coach? You know, would he put the work in? Because a lot of players, they think, I'm going to go in coaching, and they think it's just about showing up for practice. Well, I kept telling everybody, he's going to work extremely hard. Like, he's a hardworking guy, and he takes pride in his work. Tell me a little bit of what a coaching day looks like, because people think, well, obviously they hire Michael Pekka, but it's more than just your experience as a professional hockey player and your leadership. Like, you got to put in a lot of time at the rink when you're an everyday coach with a team.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it, Marty. I think, you know, your days can be anywhere from 7:30 to 4 o'clock, you know, in the afternoon. And those are off days. Practice days, our game days can be a little different depending if you skate in the morning and you have your meetings and, you know, but you're up late, you know, looking, watching the game again and cutting video. And, you know, that's one thing that I was asked constantly, if I was prepared for, you know, what the grind is. I mean, it's a grind, you know. I think like anything, the more work you put into it, the more success you're going to have. And it's a sport that, you know, I've loved since I can remember. And, and when I go back and talked about the family thing, I think, you know, knowing that I can give that time that's required to be successful in this trade, I'm prepared to do that now. You know, I learned the video system in 4 or 5 days last year in Washington. So that's not a concern. That's not an obstacle, and an enjoyable part of it. I'll be honest. I didn't think I would enjoy rewatching games as much as I did last year. I mean, I always thought, like, I'm sure like you guys, you get on the plane and you're watching the assistant coaches on their computers watching games already. I'm like, God, I can never imagine doing that. But it's actually fun, because once you understand, it's part of the teaching, it's part of the mentoring, you know, part of the process, you embrace it and enjoy it.
Now you're going to be doing it on a bus, though. Just,
okay. Well. That's actually, it's funny you say that, because Seth asked, he goes, you know, you're okay, the hotels aren't great and we're riding the buses. I said, that stuff doesn't bother me. I said, you'll probably have to pull me off filling water bottles and picking up pucks. That's what I do. I have no problem doing that stuff.
Mike Pekka joining us here, new assistant coach of the Rochester Americans. You know, I first met you when I was a prospect, when I was a young kid. I mean, I don't know how much older you are than I am, but I always knew you, when it came to hockey, as a very serious guy. You have a very serious approach. So, you know, with young kids, you're going to be around these 20-year-old kids that are inexperienced and learning how to be a pro. On the ice is one thing. What are some of your messages that you'll send to these kids off the ice on whether it's how to approach a game day, how to approach a practice day, or just life in general?
Well, I think the one thing I've learned, and you know, and a lot of the guys that I worked with last year, mainly in the taxi squad in Washington, were all guys up and down from Hershey. So they're all American. For the most part, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of on-ice stuff, but these guys are all tremendous hockey players to even be at this level. There are a lot of them are high draft picks. It's just about being professional. It's about never taking a day off, you know, show up to work and put your work in. The only way to get better is to work hard at it. Ask questions, show vulnerability and humility. And I think that's the one way that, especially as a pro athlete, you're able to crack through and continue to get better and learn is having some of those qualities. But, you know, first and foremost, it's going to be about building responsibilities. You know, I think the players need to understand that you're in this for them. And if you can establish a relationship where they understand that and trust you and believe in you, that you're in it for them, then you're able to be positive, but you're also able to be negative and criticize and point things out without them really even recognizing that you're criticizing or pointing those things out. And they're just, because you have that relationship, that bond, and you know, that's something that I feel I've always been pretty good at, is building those relationships and then just being able to have very open, candid conversations when they're needed.
How much has the game changed from like being a centerman when you played and looking at what the responsibility of centermans are right now? And I'm not just focusing on that position, but that's the position you played. So where are you saying, like, what I used to do back then, it's not going to work anymore now. I can't use that experience anymore.
No, I you know what? I mean, there's ebbs and flows in the game. You know, you know, there was really quick attacks. And one thing I found last year, there's a lot more slow sets in the neutral zone where guys are really bringing people back again. Like that trend was seen to coming back again. But you know, at the end of the day, Marty, it's amazing. Like sitting in the coach's room and watching and going through game video. And as we go through pre-scouts and hearing the other coaches talk, a lot of stuff's the same, you know, not exactly the same, but there's a lot of similarities. It's still the game of hockey. And you know, if you're smart enough to recognize it, know what corrections to make, and not a lot really changes. You know, I mean, I played in a lot of different systems when I played as a centerman. I played a lot of wing in international events and in different scenarios. And I think there's a lot of things that I wasn't particularly good at that I'm better at teaching than I actually did as a player when I played. And I think a lot of that's just having gone through the junior and midget hockey stuff where you had to really teach more at first and foremost. But at the end of the day, these guys are good hockey players. You're tweaking. I don't think there's a lot of overhauling going, but I'm excited to do it. You know, I think teaching, mentoring, being that type of guy, and especially where Buffalo is as an organization, I'm really looking forward to it.
Mike, you talked about, you know, obviously you're going to have some talks with Seth and Mike Weber. Do you have any idea if you're going to be taking on one of the specialty teams, whether it's a power play or penalty kill? Obviously, everybody knows that, you know, you were a Selke Trophy winner in the NHL at the highest level and understand how to kill penalties and do it, you know, at an elite level. And I'm sure that you see the game differently, but you're also a power play guy too. You know, do you feel that you'll be taking one of those on with your time in Rochester?
Yeah, so my conversations with Seth, you know, Mersey was, you know, charged with the power play last year. So I'll come in and I'll assume that role and doing the power play, which I love to do. You know, when I had the junior and midget teams, I love doing both. You're right, Craig. Like I played both. I loved killing penalties more than being on the power play. It's just, it's a different mindset. But, you know, teaching either one is a lot of fun, but I'm looking forward to, doing the power play stuff.
All right. Mike Pekka joining us here on the Instigators. What's the goal? One day, I know you're going to say you don't want to look too far ahead. One day you want to be a head coach in the NHL.
You know what, look at the future. I mean, I've always had that stuff. So yeah, you get the boring answer first, that I'm just focused on getting in there day one, you know, getting established and getting my feet wet and organized and all. You know, I'm making a commitment to the trade. You know, I'd love to run my own bench someday down the road in the National Hockey League. And but, you know, I know that doesn't come without first being, you know, supportive and successful in the role that I'm going to have this upcoming year.
My last question for you, I mean, I guess not last question, but you were in Washington last year. Is Ovi going to pass Gretzky in the next 5 years?
I think without a doubt.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
He can still score. I mean, Ovi, I mean, he's one of the best guys. I mean, that team was full of great guys, great hockey players. But you know, I don't know if Ovi was in the best shape last year. And I think with an offseason and the ability to focus and having the contract thing out of the way, because I know that was a bit of a distraction for him. Not that he wouldn't sign it, just, you know, where it would lead. I think he's going to be pretty focused. I think Nick Backstrom is going to be a little bit healthier. I think, you know, he's going to be challenging for the Rocket Richard in the near future.
Hmm.
So will he play all? That was on my list of this or that this morning. Producer Jeff put it on. Will he play all 5 years? I know we're moving away from you right now, but, you know, Petey brought it up. Will Ovi play all 5 years of this extension that he signed?
As long as he can stand on the top of the circle on the power play, Ovi will play in the NHL.
Do you know whose spot he took to move there? Do you know who was the last person to stand on that real estate before Ovi moved in 04, 05, or 05, 06?
It was 05, 06.
Well, I know Bondra was a big guy, but he would have been on the other side. So
this guy was way bigger than Bondra.
Huge guy, huge body.
Mathieu Baron.
So my brother was a power play specialist for Glenn Hanlon in the Washington Capitals in 05-06, and he kept taking the one timer from that spot and scored.
Glenn Hanlon got fired, I think, midway through that year.
Exactly. And they put Ovi there, and it was like, sorry, that's my spot now. So anyway, so.
little fun history for you, Pex. So what do you know of the roster? Like, what do you know about some of the young kids that are going to be in Rochester this year? I mean, I know some of them have to go through training camp and stuff, but I mean, you've looked at the roster of young prospects that you'll be working with. Who are some of the guys that you think have the most promise?
You know what? I mean, there's a lot of the ones. I think JJ Paterka, I think the organization's pretty excited about this kid. You know, I think they're very excited about, you know, Jack Quinn. You know, I think I think there's a lot of good young players. Who knows how the roster shakes out? You know, I don't want to say I'm looking forward to working with one kid or another kid in case he watches and says, what do you mean? I'm going to be in Buffalo this year. So yeah. I'll just kind of let it be for now. But there'll be some great young talent. And, you know, the other thing I'm looking forward to is working with the veteran players. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the young guys, and we got to get them ready for the Buffalo Sabres, which, you know, goes without saying. But, you know, from my experience during the 94 lockout, I felt the veterans had more of an impact on me sometimes than the coaches did. So, you know, just getting with the veteran players and making sure they understand their role and responsibility too. I know they're still trying to forge careers, but they play a big role. And, you know, that's why the signings in free agency and the guys you get for the veterans you get for Rochester sometimes are just as important as your coaching staff.
So you talk about prospect. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is a big prospect, and the goalie situation here in Buffalo is a little bit of an unknown right now. You saw Craig Anderson all year with Washington as a taxi squad goaltender, and then he played some games. What is he that he can bring either as a mentorship to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and can he play 45, 50 games in the National Hockey League this year if they need him to?
So there's a little bit of lag. I'm assuming you're talking about Craig Anderson.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I saw that come across, I texted him. I mean, he is really good. He's super, super intelligent in the position, as you can imagine. He was really good, you know, in the background. He was really good when he was called upon, but he was really, really significant in the background with Samson Sonov and Vitek Vanacek. Like, he was really good for those guys. You know, I think Craig can still play. I mean, he confused the heck out of the guys in practice when he was in net because he was a stand-up goalie. And when they didn't have high short side, they really didn't know where to shoot. And it was kind of funny in practice to watch these guys shoot on Craig Anderson because they didn't know what the heck he was doing at times. Kick saves, two pad stacks, all that stuff. He can be a really good fill-in guy and mentor for a young goalie for sure.
Just in general, as a person, you've been on teams where you've had goaltenders that have said basically absolutely nothing. They're a little bit weird ducks. They kind of stick to themselves. They do their own stuff. And then you've played on teams that have had goaltenders that have basically been leaders on the team. Do you feel that Craig Anderson is a guy, he's 40 years old, he's been around a long time. Do you feel that he has the ability to help out these younger players?
Oh, without a doubt. Personal, done it the right way. And I got to know him better than any really this year. And I couldn't think of anybody better to play that role for any team than Craig Anderson.
Do you and Craig Rive live in the same area?
Only for 10 more days.
That explains the Wi-Fi. What's wrong with the Wi-Fi and Clarence?
You thought that I wasn't paying my bills, Petey. Well,
Wi-Fi
now
in our neighborhood stinks.
The Beverly Hills of Buffalo, and you guys don't have better Wi-Fi? I'm just joking. Mike Pekka joining us here on the Instigators. Do you have your first suit picked out for behind the bench?
No, I have a lot of good ones to choose from, Petey.
Do you still fit in those? Like, is the pandemic, was it hard on
three buttons are out though, Pex. Three buttons are out.
I don't have three buttons.
Okay.
Maybe a couple left, but I don't have a lot. So when I went to watch a bunch of new suits for last year, just to ensure I fit in some. But at the end of the season in Washington, I was 212 and I'm back down to 195. So I'm in good shape.
Oh, wow. What'd you do to lose that 20 pounds?
Not in physical shape, but I'm, yes,
what'd you do? Yes. A lot of golf? Is that
just
what happened?
Walking the golf course every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So.
More importantly, how do you get up to 212? How did you get there? What were you doing?
So where I lived in Virginia, right across the street from the practice rink, there was this place called the Good Coffee Company, and they had these homemade donuts that were phenomenal. And I ate and I got a bunch of them every single morning. I fed the coaching staff. But just that just built up, and I didn't get on the treadmill or the bike enough.
What's the Mike Pekka donut of choice?
There it was the banana cream pie donut.
Oh, that sounds good. Were you ever over 200 pounds when you were like 175, 180 when you played, right?
When I heard 212, I'm like, that's like me at 260.
The majority of my career, I was probably 184, 185. The heaviest I was late in my career, I was 190.
Okay.
I'm telling you, you at 212 is like me at 250, 260.
Some professionals, when they're done, don't take care of their bodies like we do, Petey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Best text I ever got, Mike, was from Pat Coletta. He said he was listening to the show. He goes, tell Tim Allen there to be quiet. He's talking. He's talking about Craig. And I think he was calling him Tim Allen from the Santa Claus. Anyway, Pat, good stuff, man. Good luck. Eh? I mean, that'd be a lot of fun. That'd be a lot of fun. I don't know about the bus trips anymore, but it'd be a lot of fun. Good luck to you, man. We wish you all the best.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.